Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is the 14th day of January, Wednesday, 2009. I am not Alex Jones. I am Jason Burma, sitting in all week. Welcome, PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers. Right now, we have a guest who's had one of the most effective websites for truth out there over the past decade or so. I think it's even, it might even be more than 10 years old right now. It's one of the first things I found when I started looking into the truth. WhatReallyHappened.com, Michael Rivero. And he's got a radio show as well, and he even appears in my little film, Fable Enemies, that came out in September. And we thank you for joining us, Michael.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Jason. Definitely a pleasure to be with you again.
Awesome. And we love the new video cam. I mean, the technology is going up. Hopefully we'll have a real station soon, like a real TV station. More people can get our information. But it is exploding. As the market crashes, I see more and more visitors, more and more people actually listening to what we have to say. And I really want to talk to you about what you think is going to be happening in the next, 6 to 12 months in this country.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're heading into a very, very dark time economically and politically. And what you said about more and more people tuning into the alternative media, Genesis Communication Network, our various websites on the blogosphere, is a continuation of a trend as more and more American people and basically around the world come to understand that the corporate media is really a disinformation channel. They're turning away from it. They're turning to the alternative media to try and find out what's going on. In a lot of ways, this mirrors what we saw leading up to the decline and fall of the former Soviet Union, where the Russian people became very dissatisfied with what they were getting from Pravda and Izvestia. They began to realize there was a lot of lying and deception going on. They created their own populist media, the Samizdat, to get information around. And ultimately, when the government lost the trust of the Russian people, it was no longer able to function, and that was basically at that point we knew the Soviet Union was going to collapse. And I think we're kind of in the same situation right now here in the United States.
Where do you think all this bailout's going? I mean, we had Bernanke yesterday saying, look, we need more bailouts. Before that, Paulson said the bailouts that have come through, we're going to have more banks closed down anyway. And we still have not heard what the Obama stimulus package is going to be. We're now 6 days away from him coming into office. Personally, I'm not too thrilled with his chief of staff pick, Rahm Emanuel. This is a guy that's calling for mandatory conscription of 18 to 25-year-olds. So, I mean, when you saw his speech and he said, this is going to be a time of great sacrifice and service for you, the people, do you think that that's in the cards? Do you think that we might have conscription? And where do you think all this banking mess is going to go?
Well, as far as the conscription is concerned, it should be very obvious that Israel is trying to kick off a major regional war in the Mideast in which the United States will find itself mired. And once again, young American men and young American women are going to be playing bullet catchers for Israel's expansionist policy. So that's definitely in the works. Rahm Emanuel is very much in favor of that. He's very supportive of Israel. He's one of these individuals where we have to ask, where do their true loyalties lie? And if it's not with the United States, why isn't he in such a position of power? As far as the economy and the bailouts, it's running absolutely out of control. But you need to understand that the whole point of the bailouts isn't so much where the money is being spent. It is merely that it is being borrowed and created. Because if you look at the way our Federal Reserve operates, money does not exist until somebody is there to borrow it. When you sign that loan document at the bank literally creates the money you borrowed out of thin air. That's how the Federal Reserve System works. So what happened this last year is that the American people prudently stopped their borrowing. They slowed down because as our manufacturing jobs left to other countries, Americans realized we don't have the money to pay these debts, so we're not going to borrow as much. We're not going to use our credit cards. We're not going to buy the bigger, flashier car. So the government is borrowing on our behalf. That's what the bailout is.
And we'll be paying it back, but we're not going to have any jobs to pay it back, so we're going to be in an interesting situation. It's the Alex Jones Show. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secret of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijacker's ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
The time clock is ticking. Laws could change. The New World Order is advancing rapidly. Health consciousness is fading away. Junk food, fast food, fat food is the New World Order's game. Don't play the game. Slim down, detox, and cleanse yourself from the chemical foods and processed food that we intake daily. And now for the holiday special. Buy 1 month of Super Tea, and we'll throw in an extra 2 weeks. That's right, 1 month of Super Tea, and we'll throw in an extra 2 weeks. It won't last long, so order now. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Order now before you can't.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. And a couple of other key appointments that we should really mention in the Obama administration that have occurred over the past couple of days. The fact that John Kerry is on board as the head of the Foreign Relations Committee. And, you know, some people might think that's the greatest thing since breakfast. I don't know. I don't think it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, obviously, you know, Kerry was a front in 2004 to throw the election to Bush. I mean, he won the election. He didn't demand a recount. He didn't demand they even really count the votes at all. And then his new climate czar, his pick is global warming czar, because we need a czar for global warming. Carol M. Browner, one of the 14 leaders of the Socialist Group Commission for a Sustainable World Society, which calls for global governance. Of course, when the Washington Times printed this article and people got wind of it, it was taken off within hours. So, really not impressing me so much with the cabinet. I mean, he actually cracked jokes during the debate that he was going to have Hillary Clinton on his squad. Then him and Hillary snuck away together in D.C., snuck away together in D.C. on the weekend of the Bilderberg meeting. And Gergen actually talked about that meeting. You know, they said there was a secret meeting. First it was at Clinton's house. Then later they said it was at Dianne Feinstein's. My guess is that it was probably with members of the Bilderberg group. I kind of want to get your opinion on that, too, Michael. But Gergen called it and said that they were probably talking about what her position was going to be, whether it was going to be Secretary of State or possibly somewhere else in the administration. What do you think about these backdoor secret meetings with Hillary Clinton? Do you think that they were over at the Bilderberg group? What's your opinion on that, Mike?
So
going on. And I think at the point where Hillary realized that she was not going to be able to win the nomination, she wanted to make the best deal for herself with Barack Obama and held over his head the nuclear option of getting her supporters to back John McCain. And I think up until the point that McCain picked Sarah Palin as his running mate, it was a credible threat. But I think John McCain erred on that, or maybe he was just looking at the way the country is headed and decided at the last second maybe he didn't want to be president after all. And said, let's get a vice president that will end my candidacy, graciously, and I'll take the rest of my campaign war chest and retire quietly. But yeah, there's obviously been a lot of deal making going on. Barack Obama obviously has made a lot of deals, which is why we have so many of the old Clinton cronies showing up in his administration. And it is very distressing for people who wanted to listen to his message of change that we can believe in, because we're not seeing change. The guy in the Oval Office is different, but everything around him basically harkens back to the 1990s. And I'm very distressed by Hillary Clinton coming out and saying that she's just not going to negotiate with Hamas, because, like it or not, Hamas is the elected government of another country, and that's the Secretary of State's job, is to talk to the elected government of other countries. And Hillary's starting out saying, I'm not going to do my job, let's just drop bombs and get it over with. So that's a warning sign.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Middle East. How do you feel about the policy? I mean, Obama's openly talking about a redistribution of forces into Afghanistan. I mean, yes, we're going to see a de-escalation in Iraq, but he says we're going to send more troops into Afghanistan. I mean, I feel like all they're doing is keeping their presence there as more stabilization occurs in Iraq. I feel like the big plan is a Eurasian Union, obviously. You know, Israel is our ally. Saudi Arabia, we're still pretty much doing positive dealings with. The only rogue in that region is really Iran. I mean, Pakistan and India, you could argue, but Biden's out in Pakistan trying to smooth things over this week after the Mumbai attacks. Well, I feel like he's over there basically to see how much he has to cover up for our end. I mean, obviously, you know, Biden is well aware of the ISI. He knew about the funding of the hijackers. We cover that in Fabled Enemies. There's no doubt about it. He was on the floor on the 12th. Talking about pretending to be our friend in Pakistan, yet he's meeting with the head of the ISI at that point. He knows of the dealings there. And so he goes there now after the Mumbai attacks, you know, lead back to an ISI asset, a CIA asset, and the governments of India are openly saying that Pakistani intelligence was involved, so he has to go over there. I don't think that we really want to bomb Pakistan, although that's been in the news lately, too. What do you think? Do you think we're going to bomb Pakistan?
I think we're probably going to go into Pakistan, or we're going to support India going into Pakistan, because if you look at the geography of the region, you have got Afghanistan to the north, which is pretty much under U.S. control nominally. You have India, which is very much an ally of the United States. For China to be able to send pipelines through to Middle East oil, they must go through Pakistan. So if we can turn Pakistan into a war zone, then that cuts China off from one of the resources they need industrially, and I think that's why there is so much pressure on Pakistan right now. It's kind of a repeat of what we saw the U.S. try to do in Georgia and Ossetia, because that land corridor between the Caspian and the Black Sea was the only route by which Russia could militarily support Iran by ground convoy. And I think the goal there was to get a border war going, which would basically blockade those tunnels and prevent Russia from supporting Iran. But when that war didn't work out so well, I think that's when the push to invade Iran began to wane, when they couldn't keep Russia out of the region. So they shifted over to Pakistan. Now Israel's talking about a bombing attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure again. It's definitely a lot of chaos. And as I like to tell my own listeners, we're in a very awkward stage in our planet's history, where all of our immediate future is basically being determined by whichever world leader is the least mentally stable, and we've got some real nutcases in power right now.
I agree with that. So you think that Iran is relatively going to be put on the back burner, and that the real conflict may be in Pakistan? I hope you're wrong. I hope that installing a new dictator will at least, you know, wave that off. I figured that's what they were trying to do it diplomatically. But the rhetoric is there. I mean, they're talking about them being the new big enemy, and I think that just one type of terror event, either here or in Europe, being blamed on Pakistan, could be the catalyst to send, you know, our forces or NATO forces or UN forces in there, and that would be a total and complete nightmare. That might be, you know, most people are saying the Iran conflict was what was going to spark, you know, World War III, but a conflict with Pakistan could very well do the same.
You're absolutely correct here. And the issue here isn't whether we want to go into Iran or we want to go into Pakistan. There are numerous players and numerous factions, and each has their own agenda. Israel still wants us to attack Iran. The U.S., I think, has decided they can't do it because they can't keep Russia from intervening militarily. So now they're looking at Pakistan, if for no other reason than to block off China's access to Middle Eastern oil and force them to come do business with the United States for their petroleum. And, you know, again, it's that chessboard around the oil fields that's really in play.
Do you think that Russia is unhappy with its place in the world? I mean, obviously there was a play, like you said, in that South Ossetia-Georgian conflict to see what kind of a world power they still were. Do you feel like they feel like they don't want to be a second world nation in this global order? I mean, that's how I feel like the play is. You know, I mean, you had Putin and Bush sitting next to each other at the Olympics as this conflict's going on. I don't think that Putin is very happy with the way that he was treated, and I don't think that he's very happy with, you know, the U.S. basically trying to build the North American Union here at home, and I really do believe trying to build a Eurasian Union right around the corner from their home.
Well, I don't think it's a question of whether Russia wants to be number one or number two. I think Russia, certainly looking at what Putin was doing right after he got rid of the oligarchs, I think he wants peace and prosperity for his people because his own political fortunes are dependent on that. But he lives, unfortunately, in a time when there are some very belligerent nations who see their own fortunes greatly improved by major warfare. I mean, setting aside for the moment Israel's obvious push for war in Lebanon, war in Iran, war against Syria, war against Jordan, the list goes on. We have in the United States a large number of people who are looking at our economic problems and thinking that a major war at least will disguise the symptoms, give them something to blame it all on. I mean, Americans will put up with lack of food, lack of clothes, lack of fuel if they think there's a war going on and they have to rally around the flag. And if you look back at the history of America's participation in major wars, each one happened just as the United States was dealing with a major depression. There was a depression in the early 1900s. We got out of that by going into World War I. With that whole deception over the Lusitania. We were in the Great Depression just before Roosevelt got us into World War II with the Pearl Harbor deception. So now we're in serious economic trouble. People are saying this is a new depression. And sure enough, we have the U.S. government that's out there saying, let's kick off a major war and crank up the defense industries and make bombs and just, you know, at least everybody will be distracted from how bad things are because there's a war on and we've got to rally around the flag. And I think that's their thinking. And it's not going to work this time because, first of all, because of the alternative media, the American people know they're being lied to about these situations. They're not going to trust the government's story about any new war. Second of all, the United States is not the industrial powerhouse it was for World War I and World War II. We can't sustain the kind of manufacturing output it takes to support a major global war. And our economy is already in a shambles. I think a new major war will be the end of the United States.
I agree with you, and I think what it'll do is restructure us, Canada, and Mexico together. My fear is, all right, let's say that the dollar totally and completely collapses in the next 6 months, and it's no longer the world reserve currency. That alone could probably start some real military conflicts. And like you said, we don't have the factories that we once had. We can't just take a factory and take the workers there and suspend whatever product they were making because they don't make anything here anymore. You know, you can't make weapons in a factory that's not fit to make shoes because we don't make anything. The last thing we made here were cars, and that's about to go under as well. I mean, we're spread so thin militarily. Is this going to be like the first United States military defeat? I mean, people could argue Vietnam and everything, but I'm talking about on the global scale.
I think it very well could be, because if you look at the historical precedent for the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, Rome began to decline when they spread their legions so thin they only had to lose one up in Germany, and then they could no longer police their global empire, and the little fringe nations began breaking away, and the revenues to Rome dropped, and Rome sank into debt and collapsed.
Unbelievable. It's the Alex Jones Show. We're talking with Mike Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. We're going to be talking the economy and Obama and more. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the new world order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame, blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Are you one of the millions of people who make New Year's resolutions? Are you also one of the millions who wind up breaking those resolutions? Would you like to keep at least one of those resolutions this year? Well, right now, success is one click away. Let this be the year you are going to protect yourself year-round. Pepperspray.com can help keep you safe by offering you the largest assortment of pepper spray and other personal safety devices on the web. Check out our monthly specials, as well as receiving a 10% savings by using coupon code GCN when you shop at pepperspray.com. Be proud of yourself this year for taking the biggest and easiest step in self-defense and shop pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. That's 1-800-908-9988. Pepperspray.com wishes you and yours a safe and happy 2009.
We are upping the game over at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We are streaming live at least 2 hours of video right now, actually. So you can not only listen to us through our great AM and FM affiliates, GCN, but PrisonPlanet.tv, you can actually see my pretty face and, of course, Mike Rivero's on the cam. We're going to take your calls after this segment. Let's try to keep it on topic. I'd appreciate if we could keep away from the spooky hand signals and the race wars. Some people, man, I mean, they're just unbelievable. We got real issues to talk about here. We got a new administration coming in 6 days. We've got people like Colin Powell, Joe Biden, and Madeleine Albright all warning us about a crisis. Now, at first, I didn't give much credence to this. I thought it was political rhetoric, especially on Biden's part, to try to get him elected. And, I didn't take much stock in what Albright said. But when Colin Powell gave a date of the 21st or 22nd, it definitely spooked me out. Some people have tried to point to the fact that he said that before the economic crisis hit television. But I don't know. Do you give any credence to that, Mike? Do you think that there's going to be something coming up on the 21st or 22nd? I mean, it could just be the announcement of more bank collapses. Who knows?
I'm very hesitant to name a date like the 20th or the 21st. Mm-hmm. And again, this gets back to the comment about so many different factions right now, each pushing their own agenda. And I am certain that there are some people who are thinking that a new 9/11 is going to advance their particular situation. They are being balanced by, I hope, a larger majority who are saying that the American people are already suspicious of the first 9/11, and a second one is going to be a very reckless and very dangerous and risky proposition. But again, it's not like the government is operating in a united, monolithic sense. There's a lot of different players, and they're all doing what they think is going to be in their own best interests.
You know, I agree with you there. And, you know, people say, well, why do you keep bringing up 9/11? It's because the mainstream media constantly brings up 9/11. Today on Fox News, FoxNews.com admitted that they torture people at Guantanamo Bay, but of course the guy they were torturing was a suspect in the 9/11 attacks, and he later confessed that he was involved, so it's okay, you know, and it just blows my mind. And even
I love it. It's, we've tortured him into confessing, therefore it must be true.
And then you've had those military tribunals that have made the news in the past couple months of these supposed 9/11 suspects outside of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Of course, we're never going. We'll see nothing more than transcripts about that, and people will buy into it. You know, Mickey Rourke just won the Golden Globe for the wrestler. I actually watched it. I like the movie. I think he actually might even deserve an Oscar for it. But then he gets interviewed, and what's the headline? It's not, oh, Mickey Rourke wins the Golden Globe. No, Mickey Rourke says Bush did the right thing after 9/11 to the terrorists. Of course, Mickey Rourke is going to weigh in. And the sad thing is, Mike, more people are going to listen to him because he's in the movies and on television than are going to listen to you or me, because that's the kind of society we live in.
Well, I think that was the conventional wisdom a long time ago, but I'm not certain that's true anymore, first of all, because I think thanks be to people like Paris Hilton and her ilk, people are realizing that celebrities may look very good and make a very hot weekend, but they're not necessarily really up to date on what's going on. And to balance them, of course, you have people like Charlie Sheen and Willie Nelson and Rosie O'Donnell, who have laid their careers on the line to speak truth to power. And these are being viewed as modern-day heroes and heroines. And so I think Mickey Rourke may ultimately, in the long run, have marginalized himself with that comment.
Well, I hope you're right. But, it leads me to the sheeple-like mentality of people that, you know, they're more interested. I mean, Paris Hilton can have how many, like 6 or 7 reality shows, and people still tune in. She still makes money on television just being her regular idiotic self, and people worship that and glorify it. And I think that's why we're in the situation we are with the banks in the Middle East, is because people aren't paying attention. I was impressed that most people weren't for the bailout, but you know, when I'd be in a bar and I'd be talking to, you know, the local, you know, Republican business owner, oh no man, if we don't have this bailout, we're gonna go under. Explaining every single great thing about the bailout that the news media was using as talking points 3 months ago, and now when the news media says, oh my God, we're in the worst economic situation since the Great Depression, they're still saying, well, we need another bailout. That's what the news told me. We need another bailout. How are we going to get past that?
Well, you have to remember that the Republican Party was actually emailing these talking points out to business owners, because I own a small business and I actually got one of these myself. And it is simply propaganda, because everyone is always debating about who's going to get the tax burden in the next administration. So the GOP wanted to keep the tax breaks George Bush gave them. The Obama supporters want the tax breaks to go to them this time. And what they need to do is unite and say, look, taxes on everybody are too high and we need to back off. That's how you save the economy.
All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be taking your calls on the other side. Mike Rivero, whatreallyhappened.com, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call Acola Blue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
Is it getting better?
Or it's the Alex Jones Show. Insane? So hard to interrupt Johnny Cash when he's doing his thing. I love the Cash.
Easier on you now?
We're going to be taking your calls in this segment. Myself and Mike Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. We're going to go to Paul, Rocco, Todd, and others. But there's a new Bin Laden audio tape that's hitting the waves in the media. I read about it this morning, but I couldn't get a hold of whether it actually hit the news media, whether it was an audio or a videotape. And of course, it's an audio tape, and he's unhappy about what's going on in Gaza. And hell, I'm unhappy about what's going on in Gaza. The problem with that is, you know, of course, he's probably taking the Palestinian side, and that automatically demonizes people like myself and Mike that try to point out that the Palestinians aren't really the ones in the wrong here. It's Israel that is encroaching on their space. They're the ones that have the military on their borders constantly and are one of the main causes of the civil unrest over there. But now Bin Laden has a new audio tape. We haven't seen him in years. I think the last time we actually saw him was Blackbeard Bin Laden. And that was just such poor video quality. It's amazing. I'd like to get your take on the new Bin Laden tape prior to us going to calls, Mike. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely correct. The whole reason for dragging bin Laden, or bin Laden Light in this case, out of the closet is to tar anybody who is speaking against Israel in this situation. I mean, the reality is Hamas is the elected government of Palestine. Hamas had basically followed the ceasefire for the last 6 months. Israel now admits Hamas was not firing rockets into Israel at the time when Israel broke the ceasefire on November 4th by attacking Gaza. So Israel is clearly in the wrong here. And again, if you go back to United Nations Resolution 242, Israel is supposed to be out of the occupied territories, not building new settlements and going in and just behaving very rudely. So they can't win on points of international law. They can't win on morality. They can't win on the facts. So they're going to drag out bin Laden and use him to basically tarnish anybody who is speaking out for peace. The problem with that is that more and more people are well aware that Osama bin Laden appears to have actually died in December of 2001, and every Osama since then appears to be some permutation of Wag the Dog video production. They're using the dead guy one more time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, there's a movie out there about Jimmy Carter, and I'm not a huge Jimmy Carter fan, but Jimmy Carter came out with a book not so long ago called Peace, Not Apartheid, and it was all about the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. And there's a documentary that just goes through his book tour. And it's something very palatable for the mainstream, for somebody like your uncle or your aunt or your cousin that doesn't really know about this stuff but knows who Jimmy Carter is, and I suggest people get that. All right, let's go to calls. Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul, what's on your mind? Paul, are you with us? Yes, sir.
I'm so happy to be able to get through today. I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening since the beginning of the Alex Jones way back. I've listened to Genesis before he was on.
Awesome.
What I want to talk about is the first thing you mentioned with this new guest is conscription.
Mm-hmm.
Can I read you the 13th Amendment? It's one sentence.
All right, go for it.
It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Does this not make conscription illegal? Is that not involuntary servitude?
I would say it makes it constitutionally illegal. Unfortunately, the people that are running the show right now could give a damn about the Constitution and Bill of Rights. What do you think, Mike?
Well, yeah, the way they get around that is during the military draft, there's a point where they say, all of you who choose to serve the United States, step forward. And they construe this to mean that you are volunteering, therefore the 13th Amendment does not apply. But we have a government that is absolutely ignoring the Constitution, which in my point of thinking delegitimizes them already along with all the obvious lies. So we also need to go back to that little brochure that the FBI has distributed to police departments around America, that anybody who's talking about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights needs to be reported as a potential terrorist suspect. So obviously our government really isn't paying attention to the Constitution. It's just something, as George Bush says, it's a blank, blank piece of paper.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of the days that my history teacher used to carry a pocket constitution around all the time. And he was very proud of this fact. And he would whip it out whenever, you know, there was a question. He'd say, well, actually, this part of the Constitution says that I don't have to do that. And now he's supposedly a potential terrorist. Geez, I just thought he was someone who was trying to help. All right, let's go to Rocco. Rocco, what's on your mind? You there, Rocco? Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I'm here. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just want to remind the folks out there, you know, about this new administration coming in and what their future plans are for this country. I mean, I'm extremely, I guess, hopeful and optimistic that Obama is not going to end up being who, you know, everyone fears he might be. But you never really know until, you know, your guy's in office and you give him a try and then you see what he actually does.
Sure.
But, you know, one thing that I'm really concerned about is, you know, our loss of freedom and our loss of rights in this country. And, you know, I mean, how much freedom did we have against the terrorists of 1770 when people were actually, you know, on the streets shooting themselves? And then we forget that in the 1800s, the British actually came and burned Washington, D.C. and still didn't have the Patriot Act. We didn't have all of our rights taken away. We weren't having our phone calls listened in on and everything else. So, you know, I feel like there's a bigger agenda going on.
I also, you're kind of cutting in and out, so we're going to let you go. But I also feel like there's a bigger agenda going on. And, in fact, the cover story of Newsweek is Obama's Cheney problem. And Newsweek is pointing to all these executive powers that the Bush administration has passed over the last 8 years. But they're making a case that Obama will not misuse these powers, so there's no reason to get rid of them via executive orders. What's your take on that?
I think that is a very, very dangerous article that came out. It's a very dangerous idea. I think if Obama really wants to bring about change we can believe in, he has to start reversing many of those executive orders, because this whole idea that, yeah, these orders are dangerous to the liberties of the American people, but trust your leaders, they won't abuse them, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. The whole reason for having a Bill of Rights and a Constitution was the recognition by our founding fathers that people in positions of power are just human beings, and they're subject to human frailties and weaknesses, and power attracts the very kind of people who ought not to have it. And so, in point of fact, it is dangerous to allow these executive orders to stand, and Obama should rescind them all immediately.
Yeah, I wish that he would rescind them all immediately. What really gets me is the tone of the article, where they're defending torture in many cases, where they're saying, you know, it's basically making every excuse in the book to keep these orders, and because it's a new face, it's not a problem. No, it's a problem because it gives people in the executive branch an obscene amount of power when we were supposed to have checks and balances in this country. That's why there's three branches of government, folks. Okay, judicial, executive, and legislative. But the executive has just gotten so out of control with its powers, I mean, the line is not only blurred, it's gone. All right, let's go to Todd in Florida. Todd, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, what's going on, bud?
Not much. What's happening?
Nothing. I actually just sent a picture from a camera phone to Aaron. And
okay.
I have somebody that's very close to me that is in the Postal Service, and they recently had to deliver. They had three or four of these packages on their route, but I'm pretty sure they're mass distributed. And big, huge package, and it's a survey, and on the front of it, in big, huge letters, it said 2009 National Survey for North American Union and NAFTA Super Trade Highway. Now, and it's a survey. It's a mass survey going out.
Do you know who's sending it out? What's the outgoing address? Did you get a chance to look
really
at that?
I'm not really sure. I sent the picture to him. He might be able to pick it up off the picture. I wasn't there at the time. They had to take the picture and drop it.
You know what? Send it to my MySpace, too. Can you send me a link to my MySpace?
Yeah.
It's myspace.com/Jason Burmes, because Aaron does get quite overwhelmed. I do try to read all the messages that I get. I may not reply to all of them, but I'd love to see it as well. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much in the open. Even, you know, Dobbs, one of the few people that actually reports what's going on in this country, recently did something about the Securities and Prosperities Partnership, and the Obama administration is opening talks again. You know, it's just like the Trans-Texas Corridor gets reported last week that it's dead. No, they just renamed it. It's under a different project. They're not going to tear the road down that they've built. They're going to continue to build it. So, you know, this is just more expansion, more of an advancement. And these surveys that they send to people, it's to feel them out, to see what they like and what they don't like, what they feel is positive, so that when they do run a commercial, you're going to be more apt to say, you know what, that's a great idea. We do need that. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Brian in Iowa. Brian, what's on your mind?
Nice talk. Hey, Jason, nice to talk to you. Wanted to thank you and the Loose Change crew for turning me around about 3 years ago.
Oh, thank you, man.
I am calling from Prison Camp, Iowa State.
Okay.
They recently had protests going on against the Gaza invasion, and yesterday they had it going on in front of the Memorial Union, I guess, and one of the administrators came out and told them, sorry, you can't do that here. If you do not move to one of the designated free speech zones, you will be arrested.
Mike, why don't you talk about these designated free speech zones? Because most people think, oh, we have free speech in this country. We can talk about whatever we want. But as soon as we talk about anything that matters in this country or anything that matters about Israel and Palestine, all of a sudden we don't have those same rights, do we?
No, we don't. This free speech zone, it's an absolute joke. It's a slap in the face of every American who ever died defending the Constitution and the Bill of Rights through all the wars we fought up to this point. And basically what it means is you have freedom of speech, but the government reserves the right to put you in a special free speech zone, which means you're away from the press, you're away from the public, and you can say whatever you want as long as you're in these places where nobody can hear you. And it's a very disingenuous way of handling the situation. situation, because the whole point of free speech is that you are to be heard. It isn't necessarily the right to speak out what you're saying. It is a right to share your thoughts and your ideas with your fellow Americans, whether that's in the public square, on TV, in the newspapers, or here on the Internet. And the idea of the creation of the free speech zone, it is simply an attempt to corral up dissidents and put them in a place where they can say, yeah, you can say anything you want over here, but we have the right to make sure nobody else can hear what you're saying. And that's what the government is arrogating to itself right now. And basically, it hamstrings the First Amendment. We really don't have a right to free speech if the government can tell us where we can exercise that right.
And this was really born right before the 2004 elections, when the Democratic National Convention, the Republican National Conventions were coming to big cities like Boston and New York, and they didn't want a visible protest outside. So they create these pens, you know, miles away or 2 miles away. It's unbelievable. I thank you for the call. And that's why Alex Jones has used his bullhorn, Tyranny Crusher 1, to circumvent these kind of things. When they won't let you near him, well, you're going to hear his voice anyway. And we're happy to say that that is reached over $50,000 on eBay, and today is the last day you can bid on that. Remember, folks, all that money that comes in from that is really going to be to expand the studios here in Austin, Texas. And from what they were when I came down to make my film Fabled Enemies in April to the new studios now, it is like night and day. And there's Tyranny Crusher 1 in Scanner Darkly. I mean, it's the same exact bullhorn. It's signed by Alex Jones. It truly is a piece of history. We really hope that you support us. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's jump to Fred in Philly. Fred, what's on your mind?
Hey, it's good to hear from you again. What do you think about the possibility that there's no country in the world that really isn't bankrupt at this point? I mean, if
well,
you look
first
at
of
it,
all,
from
well,
like
well,
a,
hold on before you get there. First of all, countries that still make things, that have factories, they're not really bankrupt because they can still, you know, make goods and have goods and services in that country. All right. Secondly, some countries still have precious metals that are always going to retain value. Okay, they've not so much the countries, but the leaders of those countries and the elites in those countries. You know, silver, gold, platinum. This is stuff that's retained value for thousands of years. So that's not going to go anywhere. As far as countries already being bankrupt, I mean, what's the debt right? What's the deficit in this country right now, Mike? Is it almost $1 trillion?
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it's going to be way more than that next year. And I think what the caller is talking about is the fact that when you have a monetary system that is based on debt, as we do in the United States with the Federal Reserve, the problem with such a monetary system is that more money is owed than actually exists. And so the system will work as long as there's always a new young generation of borrowers coming in at the bottom of the pyramid to prop up the system. But what happened here in the United States and is happening around the world is you don't have those new borrowers coming in, and so the whole system's beginning to collapse. You thought Bernie Madoff had a really ugly pyramid scheme, but the entire Federal Reserve system is a pyramid scheme as well, because it can only exist and perpetuate as long as there are always more and more borrowers coming in at the bottom of the system to allow the creation of new revenue.
All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Mike in Wyoming. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. I wanted to follow up on something Mike Rivero said about getting around the 13th Amendment, and which was true as far as he went. Basically, you do volunteer in. I heard this from an old Air Force buddy of mine. The way you get around it, at least in the past, and I think this is still probably valid, when they ask you, all right, everyone who volunteers, you know, take two steps forward or whatever. You do an about face and take three steps backwards, and probably you're going to have a sergeant in your face for the next 48, 72 hours barking at you and trying to make you feel like you're the scum of the earth, but they can't force you to volunteer is the bottom line. So
But the thing is that they're going to file charges against you. It's just like...
No, they're not going to file charges against you. They may try to get you into some kind of a... conscientious objector type status and do some kind of charity work, but they can't force you to volunteer.
You know, I just don't say, you know, I think it's just like that argument of common law and the IRS, the people that are out there. I mean, there is no real law in the book for the, you know,
well, you see, there's
federal income
similarity.
Tax, but, you know, they're going to come after you with the IRS and the military.
No, Jason,
if they, I'm just saying if they come out with a mass conscription for people where they say conscription's happening and you get in line, you say, I'm not going to do it, they're going to throw you in the brig, man. I mean,
well,
I find it hard-pressed that they're just going to let you go. And we know that they want to build a domestic civil force. I mean, that's what Homeland Security was about, being brought in after 9/11. You know, that's just one facet of it. I mean, we have Homeland Security offices right around the corner of the new office. I mean, it's an expanded bureaucracy. So I can see them giving you the choice of whether you want to serve in the armed forces or you want to serve domestic surveillance at home. But I don't think they're going to give you the choice to just walk away. It won't be just... I don't believe like they're just going to try to, you know, convince you to take one or the other. I think that they're going to basically say you do this or you're going to jail or you're going to military prison or you're going to regular prison. Mike, what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think looking back at the case of Aaron Watada, he was absolutely legally in the right to refuse to serve in a war that he felt was illegal. That was a principle. It's in the U.S. Uniform Code of Military Justice. It is the principle that came out of the Nuremberg war trials, and yet they kept prosecuting and prosecuting and prosecuting him, just trying to wear him down.
Exactly. They have unlimited funds, and it doesn't matter to them if you're going to have to, you know, spend your car payment or your house payment to try to fight these guys. They'll fight you tooth and nail. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job. How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of my...
Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now or get the DVD at Infowars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Way up north, way up north, north to Alaska, go north. press is on. North to Alaska.
Go north, the rush is on.
Big Sam.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Alex Jones Show. With us, Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com, streaming live from the web over at PrisonPlanet.tv. Again, I love the new office. I love how we're expanding. It's just the coolest I get to sit in for Alex Jones for a week anyway. Then we get to have these great guests on, and the technology just keeps getting better and better and better. Mike Rivero also in my latest film, Fabled Enemies. You can get that over at Infowars.com, or if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, you can watch it free, stream the web, download it, burn it to disk, hand it out to your friends. I think it's an important film. It really lays out the International Intelligence Agency that carried out 9/11. You know, it goes away from the physical anomalies. It shows that there's another story out there other than controlled demolition and World Trade Center Building 7, although that's obviously part of it. Mike, in the final segment we have you here, I'd really like you just to go over the Gaza situation, the latest updates and what's happening there, and, you know, basically how we can put pressure on our government to really try to solve what's going on there instead of just taking the side of the Israelis blindly and promoting all this expansionism and imperialism. How is it that our voice can be heard?
Well, that is a very, very difficult question, because I think it's been made very clear to the United States people that Congress is not listening to us anymore. They certainly didn't with the bailout. This last week, both houses of Congress stood up and nearly unanimous, it was unanimous in the Senate, voted approval for what Israel is doing. And the bottom line as far as Israel and Gaza is concerned is Israel likes to pretend they own that land in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. They do not. It belongs to the Palestinians. United Nations Resolution 242 has ordered Israel out of the occupied territories, and Israel does not want to go because they covet that land. Now, the bottom line is, for the last 60 years, we've had all of this tremendous misery, war, killing, tremendous upset coming out of the Middle East, and it all comes down to one and only one cause. Israel demands for itself the right to exist and the right to a state, but denies that same right to its neighbors. And that is really the heart of this entire conflict. Israel will not grant to others that which it demands for itself. All Israel has to do to bring peace to the Mideast is simply grant to the Palestinians their right to exist and their right to a state. That was the original plan in the United Nations partition plan, for there to be an Israeli nation and a Palestinian nation. And Israel said, we will not go along with that. David Ben-Gurion then proclaimed Israel to be in existence and said, we do not acknowledge Palestine's right to exist, whereupon the other Arab nations said, well, if you're not going to acknowledge Palestine's right to exist, we don't acknowledge your right to exist. And that is the root cause of all of the unhappiness from then till now. Israel has a double standard. They want to exist, fine. They want a nation, that's fine. But they won't give it to the Palestinians. And that is really the root cause of all of the problem.
How do you see it all ending? I mean, what do you think is going to be? Do you think it's going to be a global conflict in the Middle East where a Eurasian Union is born and really Israel has the central role in governing that that area?
I know that's certainly what Israel would like to see happen, and I think Israel would not mind at all if the United States and Russia got into a mutually destructive war, which left Israel with its nuclear arsenal able to project power over that half of the world, at least. So as to what's really going to happen, time alone will solve that mystery.
All right, Michael Rivera, thank you so much for spending an hour with us. It's WhatReallyHappened.com. Folks, we're going to be back at the top of the hour with Ray McGovern, 26-year CIA analyst. We're going to continue to take your calls. In the final hour, it's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.